Good morning to everyone. This is Nicolas Bornozis, President of Capital Link, and welcome to Capital Link's webinar series. Today's webcast will feature the new Ireland Fund on the topic of Ireland, Europe's bright spot continues to shine. We're delighted to have with us our featured presenters, our featured panelists, Noel O'Halloran, the Chief Investment Officer of Cliburn Benson Investors and Portfolio Manager of the New Ireland Fund, Owen Fahey, Chief Economist, Investment Strategist for Cliburn Benson Investors, and Barry Dixon, the Head of Research for Davy Stockbrokers. This webinar has been accepted by the CFP Board and IMCA for 1/CFP/IMCA/CPWA continuing education credit. If you have not provided your CFP or CIMA number upon registration, please email us at funds@capitallink.com and we will log your CFP or CIMA number so you can receive proper credit. This event is accessible through a live audio webcast and then will be available as an audio archive upon demand through www.capitallinkwebinars.com. Please note that this is a panel discussion and there will be no slides for this webcast. At the end of the panel discussion, which will be moderated by Lelia Long, the Treasurer of the New Ireland Fund, there will be a Q&A session. Webinar participants can submit questions during the special button on the event page titled Submit a Question, or you can email them to us at questions@capitallinkwebinars.com. You can submit a question anytime during the event, and Lelia will take your questions and address them to the panelists. Before turning the floor over to Lelia, I'd like to mention that the opinions expressed by the panelists are not intended as legal or investment advice or advice of any kind, as a matter of fact, and are provided for informational and educational purposes only, and Capital Link bears no responsibility for them. And furthermore, this panel discussion may contain forward-looking statements concerning future events. In closing, I would like to remind everybody that our next webinar will be on Thursday, December 1st, 2015 at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, featuring MSCI. And for more information, please visit capitallinkwebinars.com. And thank you to all of you for participating, and I will turn the floor over to Lelia Long, the Treasurer of the New Ireland Fund. Lelia, please go ahead.
Thank you, Nicholas, and thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning. So we're going to do this as a question and answer type of format. So with that, I'm going to address the first question to Owen. Owen, we know that Ireland is probably the strongest growing economy in Europe at the moment. What has driven that really strong growth, and more importantly, can it be sustained?
Yeah, I think growth in Ireland this year is likely to be at least 5% in terms of GDP growth, and could be substantially in excess of that by the time the numbers are in early next year. So as you say, clearly a very strongly performing economy. A few factors behind that that have produced it. I think one of the factors is that competitiveness in Ireland has improved very substantially. Manufacturing costs of production in Ireland have fallen by about 20% relative to those of our competitors during the period of crisis from 2008 to today. That's a very substantial increase, obviously, excuse me, decrease. And it makes Ireland's position far stronger. If you think about a multinational company that's wondering where to locate its next expansion of production, something like that, the fact that Ireland is 20% cheaper than our main competitors really does help Ireland's position in generating capital investment, in attracting capital investment and generating it, and that's been certainly a contributory factor both to the strength of business investment, which has been very strong over the last year or two, and also to export growth, where we've seen a good deal of strength coming from as well. On the consumer side of the economy, we've also had big help coming from a different source. In this case, it's from the end of the austerity period. For many years in Ireland, following the crisis that began some years ago, we saw a series of income tax increases and government spending cuts. In the last 12 months, but more especially indeed in the budget for 2016 that was announced just a matter of a couple of weeks ago, we saw that trend firmly reversed, so that now fiscal policy is not only not increasing personal income taxes, but we've seen the reverse, and we've seen substantial cuts in personal income taxes. We've seen increases in government spending on services and programs it provides and so on. So that has had a huge impact, I think, on consumer spending, because people are looking out into the future and they're saying that instead of years of tax increases coming down the tracks, they're looking now at prolonged series, in all probability, of substantial tax cuts, which not only has a direct impact on their pockets, but also increases consumer spending due to the impact of confidence. They have confidence now that their household budgets and finances will improve in the years ahead. In terms of what will change or will it stay like this, I think most of the factors that have driven this growth are actually likely to stay in place. Ireland's competitiveness seems pretty safe at the moment, as far as we can tell. Inflation is zero, essentially, in Ireland, has been for a number of months. There's certainly no inflation problem here. I've already talked about next year's budget, the budget for 2016 from the government, which announced a further series of income tax cuts. So that should be in place at least till 2016, and I think it will continue in future years due to pretty good government finances at the moment. So if you have good competitiveness, if you have the right type of fiscal policies, and also if you continue to have the structural factors that have helped Ireland for many years in terms of generally pro-business government policies, a pretty sensible set of policies implemented by all parties that have been in government in recent years, a grasp of reality about what business needs to succeed in Ireland, all that will continue, I think. So I would say the circumstances that pertain in Ireland at the moment that are generating this strong growth are likely to continue for some time. I'm really quite optimistic about the future for the Irish economy looking out a couple of years.
Okay, thank you for that. Barry, maybe I'll address the next question to you. So far this year, the Irish economy, just like the stock market, has been one of the star performers in Europe, if not the developed world. In your role as head of research with Davies, you deal every day with international investors looking at the Irish stock market. What are the main factors, do you think, that attract US and other investors to Irish securities? And also, do you believe that they will continue to be in place, or are the good days now behind us?
Well, interesting, Dale. I mean, and it's a good follow-on from Owen's comments. I mean, I'd answer the question probably in two ways, and look at what have been the main drivers of the Irish equity market over the last number of years. And indeed, as you point out, the Irish market is up 24% year to date. That's compared to the E300 up about 8%. But if you look over the last 3 years, the Irish market's up over 80% versus the E300, the broad European index, which is up just over 20. So substantial outperformance. And I think there are two main drivers of that. The first, is, as Owen has alluded to, has been the recovery in the Irish economy. And we saw U.S. investors coming into the Irish market in 2012, 2013, primarily in investing in directly into the property market, and then subsequently into stock or companies or stocks which were seen as sensitive to the Irish recovery story. So things like Bank of Ireland, which is up over 200% in the last 3 years. You have companies like ICG, which is up 125%. Irish Continental Group, which is the shipping company, up over 125%. CPL, which is a recruitment company, up about 71%. Grafton Group up 113% over the period. And then you have the property plays, the quoted property plays, which has been a new development in the Irish stock market. And so companies like Green REIT, which is up close to 50% since its IPO in 2013, and Dalata, which is a hotel company, but also a kind of a property play, which is up over 70% since its IPO in March of last year. So you've had that sort of Irish recovery story as the market has anticipated the recovery in earnings. The second element, I think, is equally as interesting, and it's probably one that maybe the market hasn't focused on, but you have a number of what I would call world-class companies in the Irish market. And I'm thinking about companies like Ryanair, for example, whose exposure to the Irish economy is quite limited at this point, but that stock is up close to 200% over the last 3 years. Glanbia, again, which is predominantly a dairy processing business, but involved in high-protein whey, up over 100% over the last 3 years. Kingspan, for example, in the building material sector, up 160% over the last 3 years. Paddy Power, up 65%. Kerry Group, up almost 70%. And so these are world-class companies who have performed exceptionally strongly over the last 3 years, and I think that that's as a result of strong management, good structural growth characteristics, strong balance sheets, etc. So we've had those two as the main drivers. The second part of your question, Leila, which was, do we think that this kind of growth is sustainable, or can, you know, or is the story over? And I think Owen put it very well in his answer and his description in terms of the Irish economy, and we'd fully concur with that. You know, we upped our forecast for GDP for this year to 6.5% recently, and looking at 4% growth next year. So that growth story is still very much intact. Unemployment rates in Ireland, you know, just sub 10% now, but we think that there's a lot further to go. So yes, decent sort of structural growth left in the Irish economy. And then the second part of the story, which is those world-class companies like Ryanair and CRH and Kerry and Glanbia, do we think that those companies can continue to grow? Well, we've seen a lot of M&A activity surrounding those businesses over the last 12 to 18 months, and clearly the impact of that acquisition activity is going to impact in terms of growth going forward. And so when we look at the Irish market, we look at the ISAAC index, you know, we're forecasting, excluding the financials, we're forecasting earnings growth of 17% next year, which is over three times the rate of growth for the broad European indices. And yet the Irish market is trading at a similar multiple to the European index. It's trading at about 15 times forward PE, which maybe is not cheap, but it's certainly, you're getting superior earnings growth driven by those two factors. So a long-winded answer to your question in two parts is that, yes, we see that the conditions for ongoing strength in the Irish equity market are still there, both from an Irish recovery perspective, but more, equally as importantly, from an individual stock perspective.
Maybe to follow on to that, Noel, you're the CIO of Clymer Benson and also the portfolio manager for the New Ireland Fund, could you give us some examples of stocks in the portfolio that are you know, names that you're very positive on, or give us some examples and tell us why you like those names in particular?
Yeah, Leila. I mean, I manage the portfolio very much from a bottom-up stock-picking perspective. So, and at present, the stock-picking is very much helped by the very favorable domestic economic background that Owen and Barry have discussed and described already. In terms of the portfolio itself, I would normally target to hold 20 to 25 names in the portfolio. So it's nicely diversified, but you know, quite a stock-specific portfolio from that perspective. I think today I would characterize some of the stocks and some of the stock examples under what I would class as a number of thematic headings. So the first heading, not dissimilar to Barry's description, you know, I would describe Ireland's superior growth companies. And these are the kind of companies that can hold their heads high on the global stage. And I would start with Ryanair, which is the largest holding in the portfolio, almost 25% of the portfolio. It's been, you know, Europe's and the world's fastest growing airline now for a number of years. And that growth I see continuing from its organic base, opening up new bases in new countries. And right now it's also got the added tailwind of very low fuel costs, which they can hedge at. So to me, Ryanair continues to be the favorite holding in the portfolio. I'd also highlight Paddy Power, which the company people may not be as familiar with. It's a winner in the gaming sector, and it's got proven outstanding success and growth, particularly in the online betting sector. And at present, the company are proposing a merger with a leading UK player, Betfair, and I think this deal will lead to an even more exciting outlook for Paddy Power in that merged entity. And then finally, I'd highlight Kerry Group, which has been a very long-established company on the Irish market, a world-class company involved in both food and particularly food science ingredient manufacturing. Recently, they've just opened up a world-class food science technology facility in Naas, which is just about an hour outside Dublin, and this will be another key driver of their future earnings growth. So, I suppose there are three names that I would put into that superior growth category. For me as a stock picker, what's common in all three, I suppose, is I think all three have excellent business models. I think as a shareholder, all have superb shareholder focus in terms of their management teams. And then finally, and importantly, all three reinvest in their business to sustain that growth. So that's one theme that I would play. Secondly, and again, right now, I suppose, well-managed cyclical companies. Ireland has always had lots of construction companies. Our largest company continues to be CRH, which is a company who have large construction and building material exposures in both North America and Europe, and including Ireland. So from a domestic base, it's grown to be a large global cyclical company. I also like more focused, smaller growing companies such as Kingspan, which is a leading edge company involved in building insulation materials, and Grafton Group, which is involved in more the consumer and small construction end of building and building materials, and not dissimilar to Lowe's companies, whom people in the US are probably more familiar with. Another well-managed cyclical company that's always been in the portfolio is Smurfit Kappa Group, which is Europe's largest paper and packaging company, superbly managed, and again, from an earnings point of view, well-positioned in the economic cycle from that perspective. And then finally, the third theme that I would talk about is domestically exposed companies. So as of today, roughly 50% of the stocks in the portfolio are actually exposed to the Irish domestic economy. And within that, I'd highlight a couple. One is Bank of Ireland Group, which today is the largest listed banking group on the market. And it today benefits from a combination of lower provisions from the global financial crisis, indeed the Irish one specifically within that, also benefiting from some write-backs in already over-provisioned loans. And most importantly, we look forward to new growth in terms of its lending over coming years, as well as resumption of dividends over the next year to two. The second company I would highlight is Irish Continental Group, which is a listed shipping company. And I think here again we have a unique play, as ICG will give us a play on both passenger and commercial cargo growth and trade in and out of Ireland. So Ireland as a tourist destination we know has been increasingly very, very attractive over recent years. And some of the macro events that Owen highlighted, such as the weaker euro or cheaper oil prices, have definitely helped. And at a micro level, we can see how that can help the likes of an ICG. And then just to focus on some of the new, I've already talked about some of the older companies and sectors, but a flourishing REIT sector has been a feature over recent years. So I would highlight one of the stocks in the portfolio, Dalata, which is a hotel operator. It invests in and is upgrading hotels all over what's predominantly the 32-county Ireland. So it's benefiting from a very positive supply-demand perspective in terms of available hotel rooms. And also, as a larger operator, it benefits from economies of scale, as well as having a very strong balance sheet that allows them to do further acquisitions in the hotel sector. So there are some of the themes and some of the stock names that I particularly like right now in the portfolio.
So you mentioned like teams there, but could you give us a sense of the sectoral breakdown of the portfolio? Is it like balanced, or does it have a strong bias towards any one or two sectors?
Well, I suppose consistent with how I've just described the portfolio construction above, I would generally describe the portfolio as nicely balanced. Today, with both a combination of value stocks and sectors as well as growth sectors, what's common, however, and I think it's important that investors realize this, that in terms of a common factor for me is always a focus on quality. So whether it's a value sector or a growth sector, quality, as which I would define as a focus on return on capital employed, a focus on return on equity, strong balance sheet and cash flow generation is a consistent theme that will run through the portfolio. But overall, the portfolio remains pretty well balanced. With probably today, I find myself in Atlas, and I continue to be in Atlas half full mode in terms of the outlook for the market and the economy. So we tend to have a slightly more cyclical exposure in the overall portfolio rather than a defensive bias.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Before we get to taking questions from some of the listeners, we have received some, could I just ask Noel and Barry, each of you, apart from economic growth, which Owen already discussed, could each of you very briefly mention just one factor that you think would be important in driving the Irish market for the next year or two? Is it valuations? Is it dividends? Is it management quality? What your views are on that?
Well, and I think it's probably all of the above in many ways. I mean, the one for us, I think, which will be we have keen interest from our perspective is, you know, there's been a lot of M&A activity in among the Irish corporates over the last 18 months. So we've seen CRH complete two very large acquisitions, close to 7.5 billion euros. We've seen Kingspan complete three acquisitions. We have the Paddy Power Betfair merger, which Noel has touched on earlier. And I think it's delivery around earnings growth and synergies from those deals, which will continue to drive superior earnings growth from the Irish market into 2016, but also beyond that. And so, as I said earlier, you know, the earnings growth forecast for the Irish market is almost three times that for the broad European index for 2016. And an early cut at our 2017 forecast would show that, you know, again, a very strong year in terms of earnings growth. So much of that earnings growth being delivered by the integration of these acquisitions, and so we will be looking out for the successful integration of those and potentially further M&A among the Irish corporates.
Yeah, for me, I wouldn't disagree. I mean, I think it's all about earnings growth from here on. I think the valuation of the market is probably now much more in line with other European markets. So it's the superior earnings growth that Ireland will deliver, and I can believe will continue to deliver, that attracts me. So the key focus is going to be on delivery of earnings growth. I think increasingly, just to add to that, I think dividend will be a factor that I will be focusing increasingly on with companies as they generate more earnings. If they're not spending it on M&A, as Barry has mentioned, then we do like to see some of those excess cash flows come back to shareholders in the form of total shareholder return. So dividend, I've already mentioned Bank of Ireland as probably a company that focus will come on over the next 12 to 18 months to see can they reinstigate a dividend in that case.
I must just jump in and say that add one more factor, which I don't think will be the most important driver, but it's worth just mentioning, which is politics. There are parliamentary elections due within the next 6 months, and most likely, we don't have a firm date, but most likely that will be in February or March. There's a reasonable amount of political risk built into the market. There's concern about who may win or lose the next election. I think one important thing to note is that although, like many countries in Europe, the radical left is doing better in opinion polls than was ever the case before, nonetheless, what you might loosely call the establishment parties, or the parties that have been in government, let's put it this way, in the last 5 or 10 years, those parties still in the opinion polls have a comfortable majority, and I think it is more likely than not that there will not be a significant change in policy in that election when it happens sometime in the winter or spring. So I don't think it'll be a hugely important factor, but I'll just mention it as well as another issue that's out there and one that we're certainly looking at in the months ahead.
Okay, thank you all. We have received some questions, so I'm going to just select a few of them and just I'll throw them out to the floor, and maybe one or two of you can answer some of these. One of them, Noel, I think it's for you, is given that the fund can own up to 20% of the portfolio outside of Ireland, can you provide some insight into reasons why you would do so? Would you focus just on Europe if you were looking outside Ireland, or would you look further afield? And would these investments be limited to certain sectors or industries?
Well, indeed, I can own up to 20% of the portfolio outside of Ireland. Over recent years, my weightings outside of Ireland has been very, very low. In fact, today, that's single-digit percentages invested in non-Irish stocks. The reason being, as already articulated, I find more interesting stocks and sectors to invest in Ireland right now than some of the European equivalents. Times when I might invest outside of Ireland would be if there were sectors that are underrepresented in Ireland that are represented in other European markets that I'd like to get exposure to. So today, two examples on that. One would be utilities. We don't have a listed utility sector. So, for example, if I were to be looking for for lots of yield or defensiveness might attract me to some of the UK utilities. Another sector that we don't have a large weighting in today is healthcare. So that would be another example whereby another market may be an attraction for me. But today, I guess we're in a very healthy situation, and I find sufficient interesting stocks in the Irish market. But we do and have the ability to go up to 20%, as you've highlighted. But today, that's not the case.
Okay, thank you. Another question was on M&A activity. Barry, I think you had mentioned when you were speaking some recent M&A activity, and there have been some new names in the portfolio over the last year. Has there been a significant uptick in M&A activity over the last year to 18 months, and do you see that continuing in the future?
Yes, there has been an uptick, and I suppose there's two elements again to that, Leila. First of all, there's the if I could broaden it out, maybe from just M&A to sort of new companies coming onto the market, and Noel mentioned earlier about the sort of the thriving REIT sector that we've seen emerge in the Irish market over the last 2 years. And so that's been, you know, that's I suppose capital markets have provided new funding sources to that property, the Irish property industry, which it hasn't experienced before. But it has also allowed funds and indeed the retail sector to participate in the recovery in the Irish property market, which didn't have the opportunity in before. So that's one element. I suppose the other big one is really in terms of the financials, and as you're maybe aware, Lynn, I mean, you know, the Irish financial sector was largely bought out and taken over by the government during the recession, and we've seen the sort of the gradual sort of sell-off of the bank shares or the bank stakes. So we saw the listing of 25% of Irish Permanent earlier this year. And I suppose the big expectation is that the other big pillar bank in Ireland, AIB, will be listed next year. And so again, that provides, I suppose, an element or a new opportunity for funds to invest in terms of the Irish recovery story. If I look at the second component in terms of M&A, and I mentioned earlier about, you know, one of the factors we'll be looking for will be delivery around the integration of acquisitions which have been completed. So Kingspan has completed 3 acquisitions over the last 18 months, spending over 500 million. CRH completed 2 this year already, spending about 7.5 billion. And Paddy Power Betfair, among a range of others. And one of the features, I suppose, in terms of those world-class companies which Noel talked about earlier, and one of the features which we always look for in companies, in addition to the return on capital, is really strong cash flow and balance sheets. And that has been the main facilitator of these companies to be able to do these type of deals. And so certainly when you look at the gearing or the leverage of those companies, those large Irish companies, be it a Kerry, a Glanbia, a CRH, DCC, any of those names certainly still have a huge scope, a lot of scope in terms of the balance sheets to fund acquisition activity. And so we certainly would see that there is scope for more. And I'd say that probably the Irish companies being more of the acquirer rather than the acquiree, although you couldn't rule out the possibility that some Irish names could be acquired, particularly given the strength of the dollar-euro exchange rate.
And actually, that's a nice segue into the next question, which was on currency. The fund, as you know, is denominated in US dollars, but it invests primarily in euro securities. Do you have a view, Noel, on the US dollar-euro rate, and do you hedge the portfolio?
Yeah, well, firstly, we do have the facility to hedge the euro dollar for the portfolio. However, we never do that. A lot of the underlying stocks in the portfolio, I would argue, are naturally hedged. So we've already mentioned companies like CRH or Kerry or Ryanair as 3 examples. In all cases, they either have large revenues or, in the case of Ryanair, large costs in the case of the oil price coming from dollars. So I would argue there's already quite a strong natural hedge in place for a lot of the stocks in the portfolio, even though on a translation basis, you obviously do have a euro to dollar translation, which over the last 12 months, for example, would clearly be in a negative in terms of the stock exchange listing in the New York market. In terms of a view on the euro dollar, I think at this point in time, we would not be in what I believe to be the consensus camp, which is for a still strong US dollar. At this point in time, we would argue that the bulk of the dollar strength is behind us, and from here, you know, our general expectation is that the euro dollar probably is in a narrow enough range trade, and that over the next year to two, if anything, maybe the euro should strengthen back against the dollar again, as more confidence comes back into Europe. And certainly, if we look at a fair value estimate of the euro dollar, it would look to us as if the euro is maybe somewhat cheap versus the dollar right now.
Thank you. I think we have time for one more question, and Owen, I would direct this one towards you. The pace of the Irish recovery continues to be very strong, and GDP is forecast at 6% for 2015. However, house prices and rents have risen markedly, and household debt levels in Ireland are still very high when compared to other European countries. Do you think this could restrict future growth or add to the cost of living pressures?
I think what's important to note here is that although house prices have indeed risen very sharply, they're rising from a very low level. House prices as a national average roughly halved during the crisis here, and in less geographically attractive areas or less good quality houses, it wasn't unusual to see house price declines of 70% or even more in some cases. So it's to be expected that when something falls that sharply and then the economy turns around, that you will see a rapid appreciation. We're still nowhere near the levels we got to in 2007. So we're a long way off, seven years later, we're still not seeing prices that are anywhere near where they were in 2007 and 2008. So what happened also, I think it's important to note, is that the Central Bank of Ireland has stepped in. This is maybe a case of closing the stable door after the horse has bolted, but the Central Bank has now put in place very strict rules which restrict the ability of the banks to lend excessively in the way that they did in the past for house lending. Of course, a large part of Ireland's crisis was caused by excessive mortgage lending, and that isn't going to happen in future because the Central Bank has brought in very strict new rules that restrict the ability of the banks to lend to the mortgage sector and stop some of the practices that went on in the past that fueled a housing price bubble. So house prices, I don't think, will be able to go up all that rapidly in future years because of those new rules. I think they will have a real impact on house prices, and indeed, since they were brought in earlier this year, you have seen house prices cool off a bit. And that's welcome for the future. I think that's a better set of policies for the country and would stop a bubble building up again. So I see that as a good thing. More generally, your point about rents, I would say it's valid. The questioner was pointing out that rents have grown very rapidly, and they certainly have. I think that may continue for some time. I think the very fact that it's becoming more difficult to buy houses because of the new central bank rules make it more likely that people will rent instead of buying, and there will be upward pressure rents, and I don't think that's going to change, which I suppose has implications for the REITs that operate in Ireland and so on, those that operate in the residential sector, and maybe a positive for them. I defer to my colleagues on that one. But I do think the cost of living in terms of renting in Ireland is going to continue to rise at quite a rapid pace for some period of time to come. However, you have to remember that all this is happening in an environment where inflation is basically zero. It has flirted around the zero level for the last several months. And I don't really see an acceleration in inflation in the months ahead. You may see some pickup, but you're starting from zero. So it's not as if Ireland is suddenly becoming a high inflation country because of a rapid increase in rents. Rents are going up for the structural reasons I mentioned. They're also going up because the economy is strong. All that is accepted, but it's not having an impact on inflation as yet, and I don't think it will, at least for the next year or two at an absolute minimum. So the questioner is right to ask about these issues. They are important, and we're watching them. In the longer term, there might be some concerns, but we're talking probably 5 years or something like that before I could see any kind of a real inflation problem in Ireland. Right now, inflation is very low. Rents are an issue, but I don't really see them being a big enough issue to hurt Ireland's competitiveness.
Okay, and with that, I'm afraid that is all we have time for today. I would like to thank our three panelists, Nola Halloran, Owen Fahy, and Barry Dixon, for their time, and also like to thank Capital Link for organizing the webinar. If anyone has any further questions, we would be delighted to answer them. If you would like to submit them by email, you can email them to us at investor.query@newirelandfund.com. And I believe you could also probably send them to the Capital Link email address that was on the webinar invite, questions@capitallink.com. I'd like to thank everybody, and I hope you found the webinar informative.
Thank you, Lelia. And I think we can all disconnect. We had a great webinar. And this webinar will be available upon demand in a couple of hours from now. So anyone who would like to come back and visit it, you're most welcome. And thank you to everybody. And we can all disconnect.
Thank you.
Thanks, all. Thank you.
Thank you.